Welcome to Australian Women Preach, a podcast that aims to raise women's voices in preaching the gospel. Our intention is to model the church we want to be, inclusive, diverse, and welcoming. Brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. Sally Neves is the Integral Ecology Animator and Mission Ministry Resource Coordinator for the Institute of the Sisters of Mercy of Australia and Papua New Guinea. As part of her role, she oversees the Institute's commitment to the Laudato Si goals, especially eco-spirituality and hands-on climate and biodiversity projects in rural communities. Sally lives in Bathurst, where she's honing her urban permaculture skills and facilitates courses with Bulubula permaculture.
Welcome. Today we are reflecting on the gospel passage where Jesus invites us to take up our cross and follow him. He gives a clue about what is going to happen to him from that time until his death. But Peter, seeking to control the outcome, refuses to believe this will happen. Take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. These words of Jesus find us in the midst of the time in the Christian calendar when we celebrate the season of creation, or as many now express it, deep incarnation. In this season, in a special way, we remember our place in the broader patterning of life. We express our awe, wonder, and gratitude for the beauty and splendor of all life. And we honor our pain for the world as we lament and collapse and pray for transformation. Julian of Norwich used a single word for this: oneing. From that lens, let's consider what's involved in the cycle of life patterned upon that of Jesus. Life, death, transformation. Life, death, transformation. Those attentive to the ongoing cycles of all life, such as composters, farmers, or gardeners, will recognize this as the process of regeneration, the core impulse of life itself. In taking up the cross, Jesus demonstrates a life of self-emptying compassion, of insight, of standing with the oppressed in his ministry of justice and healing, being present within a movement of life, death, and transformation. In Elaine Wainwright's eco-rhetorical reading of Matthew, this passage in the Gospel represents a new element, a time referent. From that time, a beginning point but no end. She writes, "The one who is Emmanuel, God with us, has truly entered into this life cycle shared by all in the more than human community and encourages us all to do the same, taking up the cross." But Peter later wants to deny his embeddedness in that cycle. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." A challenge for many of us today who would prefer to believe that we have some sort of power or control over the devastating collapse we are now in. Where I live in Bathurst, New South Wales, and throughout the Diocese of Bathurst, three communities are impacted by mining for minerals and using scarce water. They say the minerals like gold, silver, and lead are required for renewable energy. I recently attended a town hall meeting about it in Orange. The township of Blaney, a community of some 3,000 people between Orange and Bathurst, has been split by a proposal for the past 6 years to have a major gold mine built on the headwaters of the Bulubula River, farmland with koalas and platypus, just 7 kilometres upwind from the town. The mine has recently been approved. It will plug 26 springs and 11 tributaries that form the river's headwaters. A similar gold mine near Orange was recently exposed for releasing dangerously toxic levels of heavy metals such as lead, copper, and selenium into the air, contaminating what my friends breathe in and the water they drink from their tanks. An open-cut lead mine has also recently been approved in the town of Louis near Mudgee, just 2 kilometres from a primary school. In each of these three communities, friends of mine are devoting all their energy, time, creativity, and intellect to campaign, collect evidence, and protect the ecological and human health of their homes. A focus on technological solutions, which gives these mines a reason for existing, often seems like a good idea to maintain our current standard of lifestyle. But like Peter's efforts in the gospel, might it also give us a temporary sense of control over global challenges that need a deeper, more transformative and local solution? This pathway can easily lead to unintended consequences when I consider poisoning of water tanks, local extinction of species, and loss of cultural connection to land and waters. These attempts to control without transforming to a new horizon of relationship with creation can sometimes lead us to the fate of suffering and death even more quickly. The exchange between Jesus and his friends in this gospel passage seems to echo this. Those who seek to speak up in opposition to these extractive practices and the system in which they can operate also take up the cross and follow the pattern of Jesus' life of self-emptying love. Taking up one's cross might involve looking our suffering and pain for the world directly in the eye. This is something encouraged by many spiritual teachers, especially now. Matthew Fox, in picking up the early church's notion of via negativa, calls this one of the four paths to creation spirituality, with the commandment, "Thou shalt dare the dark." Joanna Macy and Meg Wheatley promote staying with and breathing through this pain. Eventually, it leads to some place of deep acceptance and transformation while maintaining the human spirit. As Pope Francis reminds us in paragraph 10 of Laudato Si, how inseparable is the bond between concern for nature, justice for the poor, commitment to society, and interior peace. But the image of the cross is problematic for some. In her book, Creation and the Cross, Elizabeth Johnson raises several critiques of the atonement or satisfaction theory associated with the cross. This is the idea that Jesus had to die to pay for our sins, which was espoused by Anselm in the context of the feudal system of his day. She argues the atonement theory is in many cases damaging as it glorifies the suffering of the oppressed, such that they cannot find a way out of oppression. It doesn't fit with New Testament theology. Quote, "While the cross certainly occupied the minds of early disciples, they could not think of it apart from the resurrection, which shed light retroactively on the meaning of this death. This great paschal movement from death to life unleashed a new spirit into history, which formed them into a new community to follow Jesus' way." Johnson raises the important new question as we consider an adequate understanding of the cross. What would it mean for the church's understanding, practice, and prayer to open the core Christian belief in salvation to include all created beings? After all, Pope Francis in Laudato Si, paragraph 88, reminds us, "All creatures are moving forward with us towards a common point of arrival, which is God." Regeneration is the core impulse of life, or incarnation itself. It helps us to understand the whole pattern of Jesus' life, taking up one's cross of discipleship with a suffering world, needing deep healing and transformation.
You have been listening to Australian Women Preach, brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. You can find out more about WATAC at watac.net.au and The Grail at grailaustralia.org.au. The music in this podcast is from the song Truth, from the album Into Silence, by songwriter, musician, theologian and teacher Danielle Ann Lynch. You can hear the full version on Spotify.